And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the second edition of The Blue Line. Rob Strauss alongside John Flacco and our guest this evening, Sir John Zagoni.
How are you doing?
How are you? Welcome aboard. Welcome to The Blue Line. Not much to talk about this week.
No, nothing going on here. Nothing to see here.
No. Second installment of The Blue Line here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Going to bring you about an hour or so of more hockey talk. Plenty to talk about here. As the first three games of the NHL playoffs have already started, and they're well underway, as we're going to kick off our first segment here, talking about nothing less than your Flyboys. Nothing gets you fired up than their goal horn, huh?
The only one better, I think, is the one in Chicago. I think that's they got it from the original building there. That one's pretty impressive. But, yeah, the Flyers like to blow the horn. A lot of horn blowing yesterday.
It was. It was a lot of horn blowing in that game, and lots to talk about in that game. Obviously, though, the big topic is the whole Sidney Crosby madness that was. I mean, you're the Flyers guys. You guys are the diehards, and I'm going to reserve my comment for later. But you know, for the most part, I was really disappointed in Sidney Crosby.
You know, I follow hockey a lot, so I have respect for skilled players. But I mean, the type of the stuff that's going on with this team is just, it's beyond me. Like, you know, people from the outside look at this and have to laugh at the ridiculousness of all this. And, you can tell they're a frustrated team, but I mean, you have to have some kind of discipline. Hopefully the league will step in and kind of settle this and take away some of the, you know, just the ridiculous hits and late hits. And, you know, looking at what Neil did to Couturier yesterday, I mean, he's going to have a little talk with Mr. Shanahan tomorrow. But there's so many hits away from the play that the referees just let go, and I think this is the culmination of it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I didn't catch the entire game. I had some errands I had to run, but I missed a good one. But I did catch the last 5 minutes. I caught a lot of it on the radio on the way back. Back home yesterday, and the announcers were just going absolutely insane about Crosby and how now Crosby's got Hartnell and just drags Hartnell down by like a horse collar tackle kind of thing, and then
he tried.
He gave it a whirl, but I mean, it wasn't. I just thought I lost a lot of respect for Sidney Crosby.
Well, I lost respect for him because, you know, fight your own battles. Don't hide behind the referee. He's punching Shen as he's hiding behind the referee. He's starting fights with Timonen and then letting Letang come in there and finish up. Again, pulling Hartnell.
And Adams comes in and cleans up his mess. And, you know, you got to think, if you're a player for the Penguins right now, you're down 3-0. And I think, Flacco, you predicted this. And I don't even know if you were really serious or not, or just being a homer. Well, before our last broadcast, he said, you know what? We'll talk to you next week when the Flyers are up 3-0 and the Flyers in four. And I don't know if you thought that. Just joking around or whatever. But
yeah, a little tongue in cheek there, saying Flyers in four. Just that was a homer pick. But I honestly had an outside feeling that if it was going to go the Flyers' way, this is the way it had to go. I think the problem with Pittsburgh is the arrogance of them putting five forwards on penalty kills and getting burned multiple times and not changing anything about it. It's beyond me what that coach is thinking.
Yeah, it's the arrogance and the entitlement too. I mean, all this issue with Crosby and Neil and Malkin, just the fact that for years the league has babied them, and now here we got a team fighting back, and they think they're entitled to go around and do whatever they can, and they're going to get away with it. And that's why they really have to really dole out some good punishments right now to Asham and to Neil, because they feel like they're entitled. They can get away with anything. Crosby's been getting away with stuff for years, and I think it's about time that Pittsburgh finally feels.
I think it's also if Shea Weber gets the suspension that he should have gotten, not just a $2,500 fine for taking Henrik Zetterberg's head and you know, pushing it into the glass several times. Mm-hmm. I think if the NHL and Brendan Shanahan takes care of it from that point on and makes a statement, says, you know what, we know it's a playoffs, we know we don't call a lot of penalties in the playoffs because we like to let the players decide the fate of the game, then you don't have this issue. Or maybe you do have this issue, but it's not as blown up. The referees lost total control of that game yesterday. total control.
I think Shanahan was caught in a tough situation, too, him being an ex-Red Wing. I think he didn't want to show favoritism to the Red Wings by suspending the best defenseman in the NHL.
Well, Shanahan's also an ex-Devil, too.
Yeah, but
among other things.
He's known for being an ex-Red Wing. He's won his cups with the Red Wings. And I think being that Weber's the best defenseman in the NHL, he's a predator, they're playing against the Red Wings, I think he kind of didn't want to show the favoritism, and that's why he went a little soft on Weber. I think if he had to do it over again, he would have suspended him, especially with coming out here. But he's been pretty good with all the rest of the penalties. I think he's pretty much got him.
Yeah, the person I want to hear from now is I want to hear from Mario Lemieux. What does Mario Lemieux think of this Pittsburgh
Penguins? And what is a Penguins fan? Let's get a diehard Penguins fan in here. Let's go to the phone lines. Oh, wait. We can't do that. No, seriously. How do you, as a Pittsburgh fan, how do you defend this? What is your, you know, what is your stance here? How do you come out and say, you know what, how can you not like Sidney Crosby after this? What's your position?
I think Lemieux's silence says everything that you need to know about it. He's one who's very vocal, voices his opinion after last year's fights with the Islanders. He called it a joke, called it a disgrace to the league. And I think the fact that he hasn't said anything, you know, supporting his team.
Did he have any rebuttal from what John Tortorella said? And we talked a little bit about this last week, how Tortorella got fined $25,000 for what he said towards the end of the regular season about their matchup and how dirty they were playing and all that other stuff. He didn't say anything for that. He's not saying anything yet for this, not that we've heard anyway.
I think his silence goes to show what
But at some point, you have to step up and say, hey, we apologize for the way that this has played out. What's going to be really interesting is when the Penguins play the Flyers again on Wednesday night, obviously with today and Tuesday off, not that that extra day is really going to mean anything. When you go through the handshakes, there's no way the Penguins are winning this series. There's no way. What's the handshake going to be like?
Yeah, it won't be anything different.
Yeah, I mean, you look at those.
I could see Crosby going like into the locker room and be like, you know what? You know,
he's a brat. He's not that much of a brat.
It's just an ugly scenario.
You look back at those Colorado Detroit series. Yeah. Those guys all shook hands at the end, too.
They were uglier than this Claude Lemieux. Yeah. That battle, yeah.
I mean, you had some really nasty guys and nasty battles in that, and they still wound up to, you know, put on the show for the at least the sportsmanship, show some sportsmanship at the end.
Plus, so if this thing ends in four, guys like Neil and Asham and Adams won't even be on the ice.
Well, the way it's sounding, and the suspensions aren't supposed to come out until the hearing is Tuesday at 11 o'clock Eastern is when the suspension meetings are supposed to be, or the meetings for their infractions are supposed to occur. It's just going to be a matter of how much they get. And you know, your opinions, guys, on what should those two players for the Penguins get in terms of suspension length?
Well, I think Asham is going to be an automatic suspension given his reputation as a player. You know, it was a cross check. I think the punch to the back of the head is the thing that's going to put him on the bench. If it was just a cross check, yeah, he might got suspended, like I said, because of reputation. But a guy like Neil, you know, I think the referees are to blame to exasperate a bit in that situation. I mean, he never should have had a chance to go after Giroux's head after the hit on Couturier. Yeah. You know, you just got to give that guy a minor for interference and put him in the penalty box just to calm things down. But the fact they did nothing, they left him on the ice, and that just made it worse. And, you know, I think that the Shanahan has to suspend them because the intent's there. I mean, you can't.
And what was a three-goal game at that point?
Yeah.
Five minutes to go.
That
I mean, there's
over.
A rule. Well, you know, that's the instigator rule.
Just the fact he's leaving his feet to go at Couturier's head, and then 30 seconds later does the same thing to Giroux. Both players coming off concussions, by the way, this year. So it's just ridiculous. Asham's going to have a personal one-on-one meeting tomorrow, which means at least five games. Anytime they bring a guy in, I don't think they've ever not given at least five games when they've gone personal. Neil will have two separate phone conversations, meaning he's probably going to get at least two games. So it's going to be interesting tomorrow, and Neil's been the Penguins' best player in the series,
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely, and by the way, no goals out of the leading Art Ross Trophy winner the Rocket Richard winner in the most points in the league, and Evgeny Malkin. So the Flyers have done a good job keeping him scoreless. Not so much with Crosby. It seems like Crosby scores every game. But the Flyers have it where it counts, and that's up 3-0 with Game 4 on Wednesday night at the Wells Fargo Center, and it's going to be a great game, and I'm predicting a sweep. Although, you know, Flacco, I mean, going with you know your prediction, I don't think
my prediction stands for itself. So
nice work.
I don't need to say
you have tonight's
anything.
Lottery numbers too, by the way, because that'd be great too.
I wish I was that good at it.
But it'll be a very interesting game, and I don't think the Penguins have just completely and utterly fallen. That's what you see. What you saw last night is what you see out of a team when they have nothing left in the tank, and they've just gotten beaten on every single aspect of the game. Their penalty killing has been awful. Their power play, even though they score power play goals, they also give up shorthanded goals.
Yeah, their power play has been just
abysmal. Terrible. Abysmal. Coaching standpoint. Everything across the board has just been – the Flyers have just done such a great job with them. Or is it that the Pittsburgh Penguins are just completely letting it all go?
And here's the funny thing, too. You won't hear a lot about this. This is a little bit extra for you guys listening tonight.
Nice.
But when you say across the board the Flyers have beaten the Penguins this year, I'm going to take it one step further. How about the job Paul Holmgren's done stealing Max Talbot away from the Penguins in the offseason?
And Jágr.
Well, Jágr as well, but Max Talbot was a guy who was the heart and soul of this Penguins team the last couple of years, and the Flyers just stole him away for, I think it was 1.75 over 5 years. Not a very big contract, but showing Max Talbot the love that the Penguins obviously should have showed him. And he's been one of the best players in the series, without a shadow of a doubt. So, I mean, when you're talking about the Flyers outplaying the Penguins from top to bottom, you can include general managers as well.
And I think anybody could have really scored on Marc-Andre Fleury in this series. I mean, he has just been – I don't know what his numbers are for the playoffs right now, but he's given up a ton of goals, and they even went to Brent Johnson yesterday in the third period trying to make that statement, and then Brent Johnson gives up a goal within the first 2 minutes. So,
well, we talked about goaltending before, and I think I said to you, you know, Fleury doesn't scare me this year anyway, but right. The way he was
what
playing.
Happened to him? I mean, a couple years ago he was that guy.
Goalies are like that, though. They're the rare goalies.
He's still young, too.
In this league that every year perform well in the playoffs. You know, you got Wah, you got Brodeur. But besides that, a lot of goalies have great playoffs 2 out of 3 years. You know, look at Tim Thomas. He had that great run last year, but before then, he never did anything in the playoffs. Look at Lundqvist. Never won a playoff series yet. So
Marc-Andre Fleury's numbers, 0-3 in the playoffs right now. 17 goals against for a... minuscule 6.34 goals against average, a 798 save percentage.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible. Set this 798 save percentage.
Oof. I mean, that 6.34 is something that you see for that's some pitchers' ERAs. you know, that's something you see if you come in during mop up time and you give up a couple goals. You come in the third period, and that's how it averages out.
Right.
But the 798 save percentage is the true number. You know, that he has to look at right now. And everybody, I think the Penguins were a 4-1 favorite to win the Cup.
They're
definitely not.
I would say not. You know, it's funny. We were talking about this before, and I went back and looked at the expert predictions on NHL.com the other day. And I'd say 75% of them had not only the Penguins winning the series, but making it to the Cup, and had, I think, Crosby or Malkin as the MVP for their prediction.
But on paper, you got to put your Penguin hatred aside and really look at the rosters of these two teams.
Right.
And anybody would say that. Why wouldn't you? You've got 106 point score.
What
have
the Penguins
Malkin.
Done to put them to vault them over the Rangers this year? I mean, if you want to say that the Pittsburghs on paper is better than the Flyers, you have an argument. But to pick the Penguins to go all the way and totally ignore what the Rangers have done this year.
But if you take that Sidney Crosby aspect where he wasn't with the team for majority of the season, 75% of the season he was concussed and injured and could not play. He comes back for the last push. I think he came back in November, I believe, for like 10
games.
Yeah, something like that. And then went right back out again. But then he comes back in February-ish and comes back and makes an impact and has a ton of – well over a point a game. You know, you obviously would have to look at that. But again, the Rangers, I think, are much stronger. And we're going to talk about the Rangers in the next segment. But I think why wouldn't you pick the Penguins? It just makes sense. But they had the goaltending. They had the experience. And I don't think anybody really predicted this implosion from the Penguins at all.
Now, even if you thought the Flyers had a chance to win the series, you didn't expect it to be up 3-0 right now with a chance to sweep them. There's no one in the world expected that. I mean, that's just ridiculous. But you know, I thought this was going to be a 7-game series. Most people,
that's what I said last week.
Most people in the know thought this was either going to be a 6 or 7-game slugfest, and you know, the Flyers have played up to their billing, and the Penguins haven't. It's as simple as that. The Flyers are in the Penguins' heads, and, you know, we saw that last year when the Bruins took the first 2 games from the Flyers. You could tell that they were in the Flyers' heads, and there was
Barry Melrose says they're in their kitchen.
Yeah, there was nothing the Flyers could do to turn that around, and I think this Flyers-Penguins series, to me, is very reminiscent of the Bruins-Flyers series last year, where the Bruins just imposed their will on the Flyers and, you know, beat them in 4.
I'm actually, I'm going on record and saying this. I was actually hoping that somebody yesterday for the Flyers was, and yes, I was actually cheering for the Flyers yesterday.
Well, how can you not? I mean, you
just
root for the Penguins at this
point. What happened there yesterday?
I mean,
I was just embarrassed as a fan. It turned into like an MMA event and not a hockey game.
It was even worse. It was turned into WWE.
It was terrible yesterday. And I think as a league, they should be embarrassed. And you know, mostly as a team, I'd love to know closed doors what's going on with, you know, Mario Lemieux. He was obviously in the house for the game, or he had to be at that game.
I didn't see him on TV.
He wasn't on TV.
Surprising.
But at the same time, what is he saying to that club down 0-3? And especially, it's not like they're losing 3-2 games. You lost 8-4.
Yeah, you're the number one offense in the league, and you're getting smoked.
Ugh. Couturier had and Giroux both had hat tricks in the same night.
Right.
They can't hold a lead. They can go up 2-0. That's great. But, I mean, credit to the Flyers. They just battle. But what's going to happen with this Flyers team looking ahead to Pittsburgh? Because I think it's safe to assume that we can do that now. What's going to happen with this team when they play a team that is cohesive and has defense, like a Boston or a New York Rangers?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be interesting because it's going to be a completely different style of hockey once we get past this series. If you look at the rest of the Eastern Conference, you know, you're seeing 2-1 games, 3-2 games, not very many goals being scored. That Caps Bruins series, I believe, has only had 4 goals in the 2 games combined.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's going to be a completely different style of hockey. I think the Flyers will be fine. Again, when you get into these playoff situations, it comes down to the goalie, and Brizgov's not playing as well as he's capable of. He's going to have to step it up for the Flyers to keep on advancing in the playoffs. But I think they have a very good chance of doing that because I just think that the offense in this series is kind of catchy. And I think both teams are kind of just going with the flow right now. And once the Flyers get into another series with a different style, I think they'll be able to adjust pretty easily. And you got to remember that Mazzara should be back for the next series, which will be huge. You know, you're adding a top 4 defenseman.
Is there any word on Couturier?
As far as we know, Couturier and Giroux are both fine. So they both finished the game. So the fact that they came back in a 3-goal game and finished the last 5 minutes probably lets you know that they're fine.
That's what scares me, though, because you never know with the Flyers. They keep everything so close. I wouldn't be surprised.
Could get to Wednesday, and then they say, you know what, he's going to be a healthy scratch
tonight. Because you have Shen, you have Couturier, that were both spent time down on the ice. I mean, hopefully that's not a long-term thing. But
who's to say it's even going to be Boston or the Rangers that play them next? Because right now you have, and we're going to talk about this in the next segment, that you have all these other series that are 1-1 at this point.
Right.
Nobody's really been the clear-cut favorite. The Rangers played very, very well in their first game against Ottawa, and then Ottawa socked it to them the other night. So it will be, and speaking of suspensions, we'll get to that in a moment as well. Now, that'll be a great time to take our very first break. We're going to get off to a very quick break. We'll come back. We're going to talk some Eastern Conference, as we alluded to earlier. Talk some Eastern Conference matchups, and there's lots of good stuff to talk about there. Each series tied at 1. You're listening to Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Back after this.
Sterling High School is currently seeking high school and college students with Red Cross lifeguard certifications who would be interested in working as a lifeguard this spring at Sterling North, also known as the former Voorhees YMCA. Students will be compensated at a rate of $10 an hour. Interested students should submit an application, which is available in the general office at Sterling High School during the hours of 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. or call 856-784-1287. That's 856-784-1287.
The Veterans of Foreign Wars of Magnolia is actively looking for new members. The VFW is the official nonprofit service organization for U.S. military veterans, offering benefits, programs, and community service. For more information and eligibility on the Magnolia chapter of the VFW, please call 856-783-4353. Once again, 856-783-4353 or online at www.vfw.org.
And welcome back to the Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss alongside John Flacco and John Zidoni here with you for at least another half hour or so. Going to give you the best of the NHL playoffs. Plenty to talk about, really. We just got done talking about the local product, the Philadelphia Flyers. We're going to kick it over to the Eastern Conference side now. And the first intriguing matchup we talked about right before the break was this Rangers-Senators matchup. And I think of the first games that were played in each, both of the Western and Eastern Conference, the team that looked the most dominant in the first game was the New York Rangers. I mean, they absolutely manhandled the Senators in that first game. Senators fired back the other night and really just took it to them in overtime. A lot of really nasty, dirty plays, similar to what was not as bad as what we saw in the Flyers-Pens game three, but a couple suspensions came out of it.
Yeah, the Senators have had the Rangers number all season. I'm sure you guys talked about that last week. Won the season series from them. That first game, that first playoff game in Madison Square Garden, Ottawa's one of the youngest teams in the league, if not the youngest. I think they kind of got caught up in the playoff atmosphere a little bit there. Settled down in the second game, played their style of hockey, and won the game. That's not going to be an easy series for the Rangers. The Senators are the type of team that gives them trouble. And it's going to be a long series, and I think the Senators have a good chance of winning it. I still would say the Rangers are the favorites, even though the suspension to Hagelin hurts because he's been a huge part of their first line. But I think the Senators have a shot at winning that series.
It will be a very good series. I mean, and you bring it back to Ottawa now, where so you're getting out of the comfy confines of MSG. Mm-hmm. Now you're heading up to the, I believe, the Scotiabank Center.
Scotiabank.
In Ottawa.
All-Star game.
Indeed. Well played. And it's just these two teams are very evenly matched up, and now you throw in a couple of suspensions, Matt Karkner for the Sens, and now you have Carl Hagelin who's going to be out, which I think
three games.
I think the Sens win that hands down. I mean, it's kind of like fighting in the NHL. You take one guy off the ice, who's the lesser of the two evils there?
Well, the update though is that Alfredson has a concussion, so it might be even swapped there for those games that Hagelin's out. If Alfredson can't play,
he's the straw that stirs a drink on that team. There's no doubt about that.
He's one of the best in the league.
And being a Toronto guy, I can't stand the Ottawa Senators. But at the same time, they're in the playoffs and we're not. Yeah. That's really what it comes down to. All these games have been so great. I mean, so much action. I've been peeled to my TV since the first game of all the series, and it's just this is a really, really good series here, back and forth, one goal games, with the exception of game one. Obviously the Rangers really that was a 4-0 game, and then Ottawa got a couple in late in the third period to kind of make like in garbage time, but for the most part, I mean, this is just there's no blowout series with the exception of the Pens Flyers yet.
And in the East, at least.
In the East, yeah. In the East. And we'll get to the West in a little. That's a whole nother beast in and of itself. But Rangers, what they have to do, Lundqvist has looked amazing, as he has been all season, so you really can't fault him for any of these losses at all. And the surprising play of the Ottawa Senators has continued from the regular season into the offseason.
Yeah, this is a
or
big
the postseason, rather.
This is a big game tonight for the Rangers, because if they fall behind to Ottawa, there's going to be some people doubting. You remember, the Rangers have not had much success in the playoffs for a long time. I believe they haven't won a series since 1996. If I'm, I might be mistaken on that, but if my memory serves me right, so it's been a long time since the Rangers have had success in the playoffs. Like we said earlier, Lundqvist has never won a playoff series. For as great as he was this year, that's still something that could be in your head. And if they get behind to an eight seed, it could
Turn into a Vancouver LA situation.
Exactly.
I think the problem with Lundqvist is he's been tremendous all year, but he's been, as much as they said in the beginning of the year they were going to try to, you know, hold him for the playoffs, he still spent a lot of minutes on the ice, and mm-hmm. He hasn't looked like Superman towards the end of the season.
Right.
He's still been very good, but he hasn't been that, like, that stopper. That, I mean, Flyers saw him five times, and five times he just turned them all away. Every time he needed to make a big save, he did, and turned the momentum away. But it seems like Ottawa isn't as afraid of him as some other teams are.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if he's not superhuman, they're beatable. He's got to be Superman for them to just ride.
He's riding a 2.47 goals against average right now and a .922 save percentage, as opposed to his 1.97 and .930 for the regular season. But again, that's kind of skewed numbers because you're talking about two games as opposed to 62.
Right.
So those really aren't really accurate. But he is. I mean, would you take a goalie in the playoffs as a .248 and .922?
Sure you would. Sure you would. Yeah, you would think those numbers are, you know, and like you said, the first round, it's all about matchups, and you'll see as we go through the second rounds how who's going to rise to the top and who won't. I think hopefully we'll see Brizgalov move forward. As we said before, we don't know what to expect from him based on this series because it's so freewheeling,
too crazy.
If Lundqvist can take a couple. So losses against Ottawa, and he comes back to earth. It's anybody's game in the East.
I love the Eastern matchups, every single one of them. We talked about this last week, John, and that they're just great matchups from top to bottom.
Right.
There isn't the only stinker of a series, which I thought was the New Jersey-Florida, and that's actually turned out to be pretty good. And segueing into that New Jersey-Florida series, the Rats are back on the ice.
The Rats are back.
Scott Mellenby, they littered the ice last night when they beat the Devils, and they beat them handily. And game one, Devils-Panthers. Devils came out 26 shots on goal in the first period, and it went up 3-0, and they never looked back. And Florida kind of came back with a couple goals late and kind of made it interesting. But it was all Devils all the time in that first game. And then last night's game was all Florida. So now you're going back to New Jersey, 1-1. And what everybody thought was going to be like the between the West and the East, this was kind of the series that everybody's kind of like, skip this one. We'll put this one on CNBC. And,
right.
You know, but this has actually been not a half bad series at all. And, you know, the players for the Devils are showing up who you thought were going to show up.
Yeah.
Your Kovalchuks and your Brodeurs.
Well, the thing with the Devils is they're just such a hard team to get a read on, because one night they'll look great and then the next night they'll look terrible. And it's the same thing with Brodeur. You know, at his age, some nights you could say, wow, he's the same guy he was 10 years ago. But then other nights he looks like he's just a regular goalie. So the Devils are really tough to get a read on. And for that reason, I think this series is going to be a long one, maybe even a 7-gamer. I just don't know what to expect from him.
Now, you weren't with us last week and we didn't get your predictions, but I'd like to see where your head's at in terms of each one of these matchups, see how they differ from ours. Not that we're like the experts here, but you know,
I won't be picking any sweeps. No, that's for the rest of the series, since they're all 1-1. But no, I like the Devils to win that series, just because I thought that Kovalchuk and Parise were the two best players in the series. I thought they would do enough for the Devils to win. But I saw a lot of experts picking them in 4 and 5. I just don't see it. I don't see the Devils beating anybody in 4 or 5 games, just because they're not consistent enough. I had the Devils in 7. I'll stick with that. And
I like it. You know. I like it. The one thing I noticed on Friday night, and I don't know if you guys caught game one, was how empty that building was. It really looked a lot like, well, looked like a Devils game, actually.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
You know, so it was one of the things, and I was watching the game with a buddy of mine who's a Devils fan, and he's like, yeah, it looks like a Devils game here. There's a lot of empty seats there, and I don't know if people were getting there late or just the buzz just isn't there
Seems to be that way with a lot of Florida teams, though, isn't it? I mean, Marlins don't draw.
Tampa Bay, the Rays. I know they had that big falling out with their players and their fans. Their players calling out the fans, say, "Hey, get out here!"
Yeah.
And then the ownership says, "Here, we'll just give you extra, you know, free tickets or something like that, just to get them out there, make it look like it. There's a ton of people in the stands." But I can't see how hockey flourishes in a city where it's on average 75-80 degrees all year, so it's like,
and the Nordiques still aren't back yet.
Imagine that. But Winnipeg's back.
I think the NHL learned a lesson there with the way that the people got behind the Jets and how they sold out every game this year. So hopefully a move back to Quebec isn't too far away.
But you look at, I mean, Tampa's won a cup. I look at some of these southern teams that have actually done pretty well. I mean, Tampa's probably the only one that on record that you can talk about.
And
here,
Tampa draws, so Tampa's okay.
Because they have players. Yeah. I mean, they have marketable players. Anytime you have LeCavalier, you got the leading goal scorer in the league in Steven Stamkos, and everybody loves Martin Saint-Louis because he's like this little 5'9" guy running around kind of like Pavel Bure putting pucks in the net. So they do have I was surprised with Tampa this season. Not to get off the topic of playoff hockey, but I was really surprised that Tampa didn't do better than they
struggled.
They struggled a lot
this
year. A
lot of it had to do with LeCavalier. He did not have a good year. And you know.
And he's not getting any younger either.
No.
I mean, I think Tampa's locked him up for a considerable amount of time in terms of contract. But I was really expecting more out of Tampa this season. I didn't really see much. But
I think them making a point to re-sign Stamkos kind of limited them when it came to their bench and filling in for guys when injuries, and I think that might be the reason why they couldn't make it over the hump this year. Mm-hmm. They're very top heavy.
They did lose a lot of their
Iserman,
depth.
Iserman, as GM, made a point to say that he wanted to keep Stamkos, and I can see why, but you know, you pay a price for that in the salary cap age. So
that's the game. That's the current NHL. I don't know what's the current salary cap limit. It was like
60 something.
Is it really that high?
Yeah, it's pretty high. It's up there.
Yeah,
but you're talking Stamkos is making 80 a year. So I mean, that's 1/7 of it right there.
That's which doesn't leave you a lot of wiggle room for everybody else.
And you know, LeCavalier is making a pretty penny as well as St. Louis. So I mean, you're probably talking about 60% of their salary cap on three players.
That's a lot of money that we don't make. We definitely don't make that much money. But the Devils, back to the Devils and Panthers. Series will now shift back to New Jersey. Four games, three, 4, and 5 in New Jersey?
3 and 4.
3 and 4, and then they go, you know, 1-1-1 from there on out. But that is probably the most least compelling of the Eastern Conference matchups there. And then the last series that I would like to speak extensively about, because it's, I think, other than the Flyers-Pens, which is, for all intent and purposes, over at this point, is the Boston-Washington series, which has been absolutely amazing. It's been the antithesis of
whatever
the Flyers-Penguins.
Flyers-Penguins series has been, the Caps-Bruins series has been the opposite.
Holy cow. And we pretty much, John, we wrote them off last week.
Yeah.
And saying that, you got Holtby out there.
Yeah, it was a goaltender.
Rookie 22-old goaltender, and we'd really like to take the Caps as a dark horse Eastern Conference pick. But with Holtby in the mix, we can't really, in good common judgment, really take them to take down the reigning Stanley Cup champions as a 7 seed.
Yeah.
There's no chance. But this Thomas Holtby kid comes in out of nowhere, and he's playing out of his mind.
Yeah,
he's playing well, but you also got to look at what Dale Hunter's done with that team and the fact that guys like Ovechkin and Backstrom and Semin have really bought into the fact that, hey, we're going to rally around our goalie and we're actually going to play defense, which is something they did not do most of the season. And if you look at their games now, they're all back-checking. They're all giving the effort to play defense, whereas earlier in this year under Boudreaux, they were not giving that effort every night. And I think they've really rallied around Holtby, making his job a lot easier. And, you know, you think it's been a great series. I think it's been pretty boring.
It depends. It's kind of like the whole baseball thing.
Yeah.
If you like pitcher's duels, then it's a good series. You know what I mean? Like if you go to a baseball game, you go to a Phillies game, and you see a 1-0 win, most baseball fans would think that's boring.
Right.
But you got to remember what you're also used to watching on the other sides of things.
True.
You're getting 8-4 games and, you know, all this scoring, and then you go to this other series where it's defense, 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 right. 1-0, 2-1 in overtime.
Obviously, once the games get into overtime, it's awesome because playoff overtime hockey is the best, period.
There's nothing better in all sports.
But the first three periods of those games have been really boring. I mean, you just watch the Capitals, and you could see all five of their guys sitting back in the defensive zone just trying to bail out their goalie. I think they only had, through two periods of game one, did they have seven shots on goal
I mean, for two periods.
That shows you what they're doing to try and protect this kid. And they're doing a great job of it, and it's the only way they can win the series, and they know it. So you got to give them credit, but I just haven't been enthralled with watching that series. Yeah. And plus, I can't stand the Bruins of either.
I knew there was like a butt somewhere in there. It's like I was waiting for it.
But, Robert, you and I talked about the goaltending, just to go back to Holtby. I watched that first game. I mean, that kid played an amazing game. I mean, he kept them in that game. And, except for one mistake early in the overtime, they could have had a chance being up 2-0.
Yeah,
really,
absolutely.
In this series. And I think it does have a lot to do with Dale Hunter. I think when he took over, they were god-awful. Mm-hmm. But I guess it took a long time for them to kind of buy in what he was selling. And I think they're buying it. The Caps defensemen have become less offense-oriented and playing a little more defense.
Which is not like an Ovechkin, Backstrom, Semin. I mean, they put up monster
Green's
points.
Coming off major injury. Yep. He's a different player now. And mm-hmm. I think they kind of figured, this team's not going to score four goals on us a game. They're not that kind of offense. So let's play some good defense and try to pick away when we can. We got the snipers, right? We got Ovechkin. We got Semin. We got those guys can score at the drop of a dime. Let's play it that way. That's our best shot. So, and even with Holtby, I mean, now maybe they did play a lot more defensively than they probably maybe would have because Holtby was back there. But it seemed to work, and he stepped up. So hopefully, they can ride him and keep this series close.
I've really enjoyed the series. It's been, not to contrast the Zagoni over here, but I really think that it's one of these series that, again, if you like defense, and this is your series, mm-hmm. if you like the whole sit back and put five guys on the blue line and wait, come to me and we're just going to stop you. And that whole neutral zone trap that the Devils played a number of years ago that was
terrible.
Boring as all get out to watch, but it was effective and it won them several cups. But I really liked the series as a whole. I thought it was great, and it's still going on. And I totally forget my prediction. I think I said six.
Yeah.
Boston at six.
Yeah, we have to get back. We should write those down.
We'll just go back and listen to the last week's podcast, The Blue Line.
Here, let me throw a stat at you.
Go ahead.
Last game, Alexander Ovechkin played 28 total minutes, plus one.
Yeah, there you go.
Plus one.
No points.
He had an assist.
No, he had the assist on the first goal.
Yes, he did.
Yep.
So, yeah. I mean, that's, he may score six goals, but he might be minus three in a game.
But it's also something that you have to look at as well, is that Boston's not a bad team anyway. I mean,
no, they're certainly not a bad team.
You got one of the, I don't want to say one of the best Boston goaltenders ever, but I mean, you have to look at Tim Thomas as being one of their all-time greats, even though he's, 5 years ago, nobody had any idea who Tim Thomas was. He was the backup to the backup. He was the Thomas Holtby of the Bruins for a while, and now he's comes in and backstops them to a Stanley Cup. That's just a good team defensively.
Yeah.
And you can't take anything away from them in that aspect of it, but
you can also see signs though that he's not the Tim Thomas he was last year, whether it's because he's played too many minutes or who knows why it is, but the fact of the matter is that they're nowhere near as good as they were last year. Last year they were a machine and you weren't beating them. This year
they started off slow as well.
Yeah, this year I see that they're a team that that they definitely have holes.
Defensively,
offensively. Nathan Horton, not having him, he was a catalyst for them last year. He's a big guy down
concussed,
the middle.
I believe.
Concussed out for the season. So, they've got some problems in Boston. I don't expect them to win more than one round. I think they're out next round if they do survive this round.
Wow. That's a bold prediction.
Yeah, I just don't, you I don't have like
them,
what I see.
But you do have them advancing in this round, correct?
I think they'll survive in seven, but I think they're done quickly in the next round, whoever they play.
Wow. That's a bold prediction.
But I would not be surprised if the Capitals do pull this off at all.
I mean, if you're going to talk about an upset and in the Eastern Conference, obviously it's not going to be I wouldn't consider a 4-5 matchup an upset by any stretch of the imagination.
But not when both teams have 100 points in the season, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, when we're going to get to the LA-Vancouver series in a few minutes, but when 20-plus points separates, you know, two teams, I don't know what Boston finished up with, but I know that the Capitals were scratching and clawing down to the last couple of games of the season to try and even make the playoffs. I think they were a 9 seed with like 3 games left to play. Yep. And I think what really vaulted them into the playoffs and really solidified their playoff spot was the Flyers beating Buffalo in Philadelphia. And that pretty much
blew out.
Yeah, that was huge. And Buffalo had the lead going into the third period. And then they threw up a stat on TV that Buffalo is 27-0-2 when leading after 3 periods. And I don't know if these announcers really
after 2 periods
or after 3 periods. Yeah, after three periods. Yeah, no, sorry. After 2 periods,
it'd be tough to lose after leading after 3 periods.
Well, I'm sure Pittsburgh would find a way to do that the way that they're playing recently. That's I don't know if the announcers throw that stat up there just to kind of put the hex on people that's what pretty much solidified the Capitals' entrance into the playoffs. So I think once they had that going, they were in good shape, and that'll do it for our Eastern Conference matchups. We're going to get off to a very quick break. When we get back from the break, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about the Western Conference. We didn't spend too much time talking about them in our initial broadcast. But when we get back, we'll talk, speaking of upset Central, the Vancouver Canucks, the reigning President's Trophy champion, 2 years running, are on the brink of elimination to a team that has significantly less points than them, and nobody really talks about the LA Kings. You're listening to Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Back right after this.
Attention all seniors, are you looking for a scholarship and can't decide which one to go for? Well, we have 2 scholarships that will be right for you. First, we have the National Coalition 100 Black Women Sewn New Jersey Chapter Scholarship. Minimum scholarship is $500, and it must be accepted to a 2 to 4 year college or university. You must do 50 hours of community service between February 2011 and February 2012. Personal interviews required, and the deadline is February 18th. Second is the C. Harris Memorial Scholarship. Each scholarship is a minimum of $250 awarded to graduating seniors of a Camden County High School. The applicant must show a commitment to civil rights and diversity. The deadline is March 1st. Applications for both scholarships are in the guidance office, so grab yours today.
The mission of Ronald McDonald House Charities is to create, find, and support programs that directly improve the health and well-being of children. We believe that when you change a child's life, you change a family's, which can change a community, and ultimately the world. RMHC makes an immediate, positive impact on children's lives through our global network of chapters in 52 countries and regions, and through our 3 core programs, Ronald McDonald House, Ronald McDonald Family Room, and Ronald McDonald Care Mobile. To donate to the Ronald McDonald House Charities, go to rmhc.org.
And welcome back to the Blue Line. Rob Strauss alongside John Flacco. We lost the other John. Had to take off.
Yeah.
And right here on Sterling High School Radio.
Duty call.
Duty calls, and that happens. Just got done the Eastern Conference playoff matchups, with the exception of the Flyers-Pens debacle. All those series are tied 1-1. We're going to switch it over a little bit now to the Western Conference, where we don't get a lot of – all those games are on so late. It's crazy, yes. But there are a lot of really good series. I think the only ones that are on early right now is the Predators and Wings and the Blues. And, well, not the Blues Sharks anymore. You're looking at also Phoenix, Chicago, Blues Sharks, Preds, Wings. But the big story, obviously, in the West right now is the Canucks down 3-0 to the LA Kings. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, I think Vancouver's panicking, you know, the pulling, switching the goaltenders after 2 games, and Luongo, and he saw this last year. You look at his game, and he doesn't play awful, but there just seems to be something there that's missing, and I guess they thought they didn't want to get to the same spot last year, and thought that Snyder would be a boost for the team, and It can't be the goaltending. I mean, Vancouver has some problems, and it's not their goaltending. It doesn't help that Sedin's been missing, and he won't be there.
Not having Daniel Sedin, I mean, is that like taking Claude Giroux out of the lineup? Is he going to make that big of an impact? When you look at the stars on that Vancouver roster, it's not like you're getting rid of Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, but you know, we have to look at it this way. When you take a player like Sedin off, you're changing lineups, you're changing power play lineups, and everyone has to kind of step up and fill a role. And you know, if you don't have the kind of continuity that some teams have, one through three lines, and you take a player like that out, sometimes it just affects teams. They just don't know how to play together with those other lines and be as productive. And I think that's what the problem is. It's not so much that he's that good a player. It's just that kind of connection, that kind of continuity that they had all season, all of a sudden is not there. It also doesn't hurt that I'm drawing a blank here.
Who are you thinking of, Kessler?
Kessler is not playing anywhere near what he was playing last year.
Well, Kessler, to this point, only has a pair of assists along with Henrik Sedin, and they're the team's leading scorers through three games. When you get through three games and you have, you know, your top two scorers have two assists apiece, that's not a very good sign. Henrik Sedin, 2 points. Ryan Kessler, 2 points. The only people with goals on this team are Samuel Paulson, Alexander Burrows, Edler, and Yannick Hansen are the only ones with goals in this series right now. And you got to hand it to L.A. I mean, L.A. is really sticking it to them. And you look at some Flyers casts off.
Those guys know how to play in playoff games, even though they didn't win a lot last year, but they've been through the wars together, Richards and Carter and Justin Williams.
Sure.
You know, it's got some talented players there. And you get enough chemistry, and we know LA's got the goaltending. You know, that's enough to take you for a ride.
Jonathan Quick right now, a 1.33 goals against average and a .965 save percentage. Just and a shutout, mind you. Don't want to leave that one out.
Yeah.
Just playing absolutely amazing. Dustin Brown, their captain, on fire right now. A pair of shorties the other night to help propel his team to victory. And now they're up 3-0. And you have to wonder, I don't think this series is as over as the Philadelphia-Pittsburgh series is, but I don't think that anybody really thought that LA even had a shot, you know, to take on Vancouver.
Yeah, and you look at you just look at the Kings lineup. It's not like they have one line pulling a lot of duty and kind of carrying them. They're a pretty deep team. They're not standout on every line, but they go through line one through three. And they can match and they can scrap and do the things they need to do to score. I mean, Brown has become a force on the Kings from what I've seen. I mean, he's really stepped up his game being in the playoffs now. And you wonder how much of an influence Richards has on a young guy like that. You know, just showing him the ropes and showing him how to play playoff hockey. And, you know, I was watching a little cameo on Richards that they did on the NHL Network. And, you know, guys there buy into Mike Richards. They like the grit.
And why do you think it didn't work here?
I think
we were all shocked.
Yeah.
And not to get off on a tangent here, but I think we were all shocked as a community, tri-state area, if you will. If everybody knew in the offseason of last year when they lost to Boston that you're losing Richards or you're losing Carter. I don't think anybody in their right mind really thought that you were going to lose both in the same day and get a bunch of guys from the West Coast that nobody ever heard of, and Wayne Simmons, and this guy who might be good in Braden Schenn. He might be good. Who knows? He's a young guy. I think everybody thought that Paul Holmgren was out of his mind. But last time I checked, it's working out pretty well.
I think that
for both teams,
the LA trade, I think, worked out for both teams. I don't know how about
the Columbus one, I think, got
the short end of that deal. But as far as the Kings got what they were looking for, I mean, I don't think they had that kind of player on the team as Richards. And then for them to go and grab Carter and pull him in, late in the season. That kind of chemistry is there. And you know, Carter, the thing with Carter is he's got the skill, and it's just a matter of him, you know, being the consistent mental player that I think he wasn't here in Philadelphia. Yeah. And I think with Richards, you just had a guy with a personality that just was very sensitive to things that were said about him. He probably is a hard worker. He probably got a good work ethic when it comes to hockey, but people didn't see that here. And it's like Cole Hamels with the Phillies, you know, people kind of see him as a laid back California guy. And at least not, maybe not now, but initially it kind of looked at him and said, you know, he's not really a Philly kind of guy. And I think they wanted Richards to be that kind of guy. And
right.
He really wasn't, you know, he's not. You know, when you look back on the Flyers captains, you got to look all the way, maybe for that 1 year, Keith Primeau. But before that, you got to go all the way back to like Dave Poulin to see
a true
Flyers captain.
Yeah.
that this city knows. Like, I mean, the model was Bob Clark. You know, it's kind of hard to live up to that model.
Well, nobody can be that guy.
Right. Because you get the skill as well as the toughness.
Right.
And it's been hard. Like, Dave Poulin never had that kind of skill, but he was blue-collar kind of guy. People loved him. Of course, it wasn't hard to feed Brian Propp and Tim Kerr to get all the points that he did. But that's another story. But, yeah, I think Richards just wasn't comfortable in that position, and that's why we saw the inconsistency. I think maybe now out in L.A. where it's not the hockey the following is kind of like more laid back, like, hey, the Kings are doing well. Let's go watch the Kings.
I almost wish I had insomnia so that I could stay up and watch these games. But after watching,
I
like the way that the NHL has done this in terms of scheduling these games. I know for at least for yesterday, you had a game on at noon. You had the Preds Wings on at noon. You had the Flyers Pens on it at 3 or 3:30, whatever time the game started. And then you had a game on at 7. Mm-hmm. The Devils, Panthers, and then you had the late game in L.A. and Vancouver. Now, I'm kind of selfish in that I would like to see all the hockey that I possibly can, because this is my favorite time of year in terms of hockey. But they've done a good job of putting all these games in order to watch them. I really wish that I could stay up and watch the L.A. Vancouver series, but there's no
way.
They're
both West Coast teams. We're not going to be able to see them. They're going to be late game no matter what. Yeah, at least St. Louis, when they come to St. Louis, so they'll be on a little earlier, not in San Jose. But yeah, we're probably missing a really good series here. Two very good teams, like you said. With Quick playing the way he's played up to what expectations. You know, he's a young guy too, and. Not very little playoff experience here, and he's become the goalie he's been all year.
Yep, Dustin Brown obviously leading the LA Kings not only on the ice but also on the score sheet as well. 4 goals and a helper. He's a +3 right now with a pair of shorthanded goals too, which I think can swing the momentum of really in any game at any given time is a shorthanded goal or a really big penalty kill. But in this case, when you get 2 shorties in the same game, that's humongous right there. And that's how, you know, you're going to take down a team like Vancouver. It'll be very interesting to see how Vancouver responds in their next game, which I don't believe is until tomorrow night. It will be extremely interesting to see what happens with that Vancouver series. So the other series that we have also, we mentioned this earlier, was the Preds and Wings, which we knew going into this game was going to be an absolute dogfight. And it has been, it's lived up to every part of the billing from here on out. Minus the Shea Weber incident, which kind of started this whole ball rolling of suspensions and fines and bad hits, what's considered a good hit, what's a bad hit, how does Brendan Shanahan respond to that, all that stuff. Preds Wings now, Predators leading the Wings 2-1. That's got to be redemption time for them because the Wings have really owned them in the past.
Yeah, I think Detroit's kind of just falling a little flat here in this series. What they need is their big guys to step up and be big in the playoffs. They need Datsyuk, they need Zetterberg, they need you know, guys who've been there before, like Franzen and Filppula, and even Lidstrom, to just step up.
The Angels wonder.
Yeah, to kind of step in and do some things. You know, Nashville is Nashville is an up and coming team, and they got something to prove. And I think they got that chip on their shoulder, and they're, you know, well, one thing though is Weber is logging a lot of ice time, and you know, and Suter's logging a lot of ice time too. You know, you look at the ice time for those guys, it's a dramatic drop off of them. Mm-hmm. So I mean, they got to ride that. They survive a seven game series. How far do they move on, given that kind of thing? Because those guys are playing shorthanded, they're playing power play, they're on the ice at all times. So, you know, it's I don't notice that. I don't even think in Detroit the goaltending has really stood out. I think Howard missing all that time has made him average,
beatable.
Yeah,
almost beatable. Yeah. And I think it's funny that Shea Weber scores, early in the first period in Detroit to kind of silence the boos. I know they booed him every time he touched the puck in Detroit. And you know what? Rightfully so. And they should.
Yeah.
They absolutely should.
You can't expect to, you know, not get that kind of reception in their building after that kind of you wonder what's in a guy's mind when he does something like that in a game. I mean, it's not the type of thing where you're going full tilt at a guy and you hit him, you know, maybe high or get a stick in the way where it's something
it's
like not
one of those
really
marginal plays.
Yeah,
where
yeah, it's not really intentional.
Right.
But I mean, the tension was there to plow through the guy, but not really to hurt him. But to grab a guy's head and just smash it against the boards, I mean, that's just
once the game's over. The game was over at that point.
Yeah.
I believe there's a face-off in the Nashville zone with a one-goal lead with like 6 seconds to go or something like that. There was and it was he and Zetterberg in the corner. And just trying to eat up the clock, what was remaining of the clock, and just trying to win the game, play was over.
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't do that.
Zetterberg, no threat of scoring from that position.
No.
None whatsoever.
No. And if you do score from that position, that's you better pick up that puck and frame it, because I don't know how you're going to put it in from behind the net. That'd be kind of interesting. But this series is probably the more feisty of the four Western Conference series. And if you have to star one of the series, hey, this is the one to watch. I think in the West, yeah, this is the one that you definitely want to take a look at.
Then,
because it's on at 7:30 mostly.
Yeah, well, I think we both had this going seven. You went Nashville. I think I went Detroit. So
I believe so, yeah.
So I think it might go to seven, though. So it'll go down to probably goaltending or that, you know, one extra player. That's how those things can happen.
Blue Sharks also tied at one apiece. Again, this is one of these series now that shifts over to the West Coast again, so we're probably not going to see too much of this unless we're pulling all-nighters for the blue line here, just trying to get some stats and information. But I'll watch this stuff on Sport, the highlights on SportsCenter. Thank you. Another good series, Blues, and we mentioned this last week, a surprise team. Came out of nowhere, great coaching in Hitchcock, who actually coached here for Philadelphia for a number of years, and then kind of went south, and you know they dismissed him. And I believe, was he in Columbus for a while too?
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
that didn't work out. Nothing seems to work in Columbus anymore. and so they ship him over to St. Louis, and just has a Jack Adams Award, you know, kind of in his back pocket right now. There's no way, I don't think, he doesn't win that award this year.
Yeah, it'd be a crime him not to win there.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, you look at their lineup. I mean, there's no – I think I was telling you this before. I mean, other than Jason Arnott, who's, you know, past his prime, you don't have any big names coming at you from St. Louis. So, I mean, that's just kind of like the trademark of Hitch, though. You know, he takes underachievers and finds a way to make them play together.
Well, Kevin Shattenkirk doesn't do anything for you.
I'll tell you what, though. I don't know if you saw the last St. Louis game, but one guy that – you want to look out for is Roman Pollock, or Pollock, as he pronounced his name. He got in a fight at the end of the game. If you look at the penalty sheet, it's ridiculous for that game. He beat a guy. I haven't seen a guy get beat so bad since Craig Berube just put four guys over. I mean, he hit this guy
got him
with rights. No lie. He hit him about six or seven rights and just pummeled him to the ice.
Wow.
He was a man possessed. And Hitch even said after the game, he goes, the one button you don't want to push is Roman Pollock's. And you know, if you haven't seen that fight, go back and watch it, because it is a true fight. It's a street battle.
Your boy Roman Pollock is sporting 15 PIMs right now.
Yeah.
getting about 20 minutes of ice time, which isn't too bad. But the big thing you got to focus on with this, for this Blues team anyway, for them to come out of this series, is their goaltending. It seems to be a common theme with a lot of the teams that are in the playoffs right now. Which goaltender are they going to go with? Halak got injured, so now you're going back to Brian Elliott, which isn't a bad backup, because between the two of those guys were back and forth pretty much all season, backstopping each other, trying to help them out. Brian Elliott, 38 games played during the regular season, 1.56 goals against for a .940 save percentage. That's not too shabby. Yeah. I'd be okay with that going into the playoffs.
You're not getting a big drop off in goaltending by Elliott coming in replace. In fact, I was surprised that Halak started. I thought they were going to go with Elliott to start the series. So
their numbers are almost identical.
Yeah, you're not losing anything with St. Louis there. I mean, they play a team concept, so I don't think you're going to see any difference by the goaltending change in this series.
Because they've been doing it all year. They almost split right down the middle, the games that they've played. Halak is a 197 goals against average for a .926 save percentage. So you're looking at two goaltenders who are under two in goals against and way up there in save percentage. So it's kind of a –
and they're both
six shutouts, too, by the way.
They're both playing all year, too. It's not like one guy just plays every once in a while and happens to do well. They both played.
But as we know here in Philadelphia, the back-and-forth goalie tandem, sometimes the hat trick of goalies that we sprinkle in
here. It only takes you so far.
You know, exactly. I can't remember the last time a team that went back-and-forth between goaltenders – won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, we've seen a couple teams get far.
The Flyers, most notably,
but not
more recently, rather.
Yeah, not the team that won it.
And so that's a great series. And then of course we have the last series here is the Phoenix Chicago series, also tied at one apiece. The Coyotes.
The Coyotes. The team that may be without a home.
Maybe. And again, I think I mentioned this last week, depending on how far they go in this series will determine, I think, how much longer they stay in Phoenix. That's my prediction. Because I know they're on the hot seat in terms of, hey, which NHL team are we going to move around this time?
Yeah.
Are we going to move? I know the team that was in Atlanta, the Thrashers, were rumored to be going to a Northern Ontario team, almost like a Toronto South kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you have like the Islanders and the Rangers. You kind of have another Ontario team. But now you're throwing back, and John Zagone mentioned this earlier, you've thrown in that, well, which team did we have back? Oh, we had the Quebec Nordiques.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see if we can throw that back into the fold. So I think that's definitely in the back of everybody's mind in Phoenix and that. But I think Chicago, I can't see Phoenix winning this series at all. I really can't.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their lineup and you look at the way they played. They got some gritty veterans on that team, and nobody really jumps out at you. And it's a hard series to read. As much as I don't think Phoenix has any way to sustain, you look at the Chicago big guys, and you're not seeing anybody jump. I mean, you're not seeing Keith, you're not seeing Kane, you're not seeing Sharp, or Taze.
Still so Taze early, still Taze, they've only played two games, and they could go on and win this series. Chicago could anyway go on and win this series 4-1, and then we'd be like, well, what the heck were we talking about last week? I think after two games, it's hard to make that assumption on who's going to. It's so hard to tell. I mean, if we're four games in, this time next week, we'll have a much clearer vision. I mean, there's going to be teams that are going to be eliminated.
Right.
We're not even going to be talking. They're going to be an afterthought.
We'll see teams playing on their home ice, which some of them we haven't seen yet, too.
Yep.
So that'll that's what I was saying. We were going back to the Jersey Florida series. You know, what will happen now that Jersey goes back home? Will they become the veteran Jersey playoff team and win a game again? And, you know, will Florida kind of overcome that and take the momentum into New Jersey? We don't know what that's going to happen. And I think it's a lot of these 1-1 series. It's hard to read. Like you said, we're only two games in. We haven't seen the best. I think we haven't seen the best of a lot of the big stars in the NHL. I mean, obviously in the Flyers-Pittsburgh series, where those guys have all gotten into mid-season form already in a couple games
in the
playoffs.
I think you could put some points up in that series, Flacco.
Oh, man, all I have to do is put me on with Jagr, and he'll just find a way to give me the puck. All I have to do is stick my stick in front of the net, and I'll just go in. I mean, that one goal he scored at the beginning of the third period, the guy was just hanging on him.
Yeah.
He just,
He's like, I'll just put this there, and you just go away.
There's a reason guys who are 6 foot something do well in professional sports. Yeah. You know, it's a big advantage. And
do they have any sports for 5'9" guys? Because if they do, I'm on board.
Hockey used to be the sport for average-sized white guys, but not anymore.
Not anymore. It's completely changed. Now you've got guys that are – I think that guy for – who's that boy? Dan Boyle. On the Rangers, he's like 6'7". I'm like, okay, so you had a couple more inches, and he's on skates, and now you're looking at 6'9", 6'10". That guy comes barreling at me. I'm just going to fall in the fetal position and just start crying. It is this Phoenix Chicago series. I think is one of the it's the same series as that Devils Panther series. It's like the of the four. If you're going to rank them, obviously you're going to want to watch the Canucks because you have all that talent and the scoring potential. And this is pre-playoff start. Right. You're looking at them. Preds, Wings, they have a history together. Blues, Sharks, you're looking at. The Sharks team always has a lot of firepower. Blues are this upstart team. And then you have like this red-headed stepchild kind of Phoenix-Chicago square peg in the round hole kind of matchup. And it's great that you got Kane and Taze, and it's nice, but it's Phoenix.
Yeah.
It's Phoenix. But they're hanging with them. They're making it interesting. Antoine Vermette has 3 goals for the Coyotes, and Keith Yandel with 3 assists, and Rafi Torres. But they don't have that player on that team that Jonathan Taze, the Patrick Kane or the Duncan Keith.
They got Damon Lankow.
Nice. Is this like the Flyers cast off broadcast?
I had to get the Flyers reference in there, right? Come on, Damon Lankow.
There you go. But this is Mike Smith is goalie. I mean, are we just
Mike Smith?
It's like Bob Jones in net tonight. I mean, not a lot of big household names on this team, but somehow they're still getting it done. And Chicago is not an awful team. This is just a 3-6 matchup.
Only a couple years removed from a Stanley Cup with basically the same stars, so different goaltender. But
I think the big test is going to be not the big test, but I mean the big. Our next broadcast, which will be next week, right here on the Blue Line on Sterling High School Radio, it's going to be. I don't know if we're going to be eating our words next week, or if it's going to be one of those things where the playoff picture is going to be so much clearer, and we're going to have so much more information on guys like, okay, well, let's see. You know, maybe we're at the point where it's Game 7, Flyers and Pens. I doubt it, but where are these big name players that we're waiting for them to show up? Have they shown up? And if they didn't, why not?
Yeah,
and next week is going to be the big tell all, if you will.
Hopefully, I'll be complaining about how much time the Flyers have off in between series.
Yeah, of course you will. Of course you will. And we're going to get off to our very last break. We'll wrap everything up when we get back. We have our midway predictions. We'll see if any of those changed, and we'll also talk some more news and notes when we get back. Right after this, you're listening to WSHS Sterling High School Radio, the Blue Line. Back after this.
Come join the local youth every Sunday night at Stratford United Methodist Church on the corner of Union and Central Aves. The youth group is a rapidly growing group, and they would love to have you. The group consists of 7th to 12th graders and meets every Sunday night from 7 to 9 at the church. Come join us weekly for crazy games, live music, biblical life lessons, and some great snacks. Join now so you don't miss out on upcoming camping trips, scavenger hunts, swim parties, and more. For more information, contact Stratford Church at 784-9135. Or Jared Claiborne at 856-287-0717.
Rutgers Day, the ultimate Rutgers experience. Rutgers University, New Brunswick, Saturday, April 28th, 2012, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Free admission, free parking, rain or shine.
Bring your family and friends and enjoy a full day of discovery and lively activities as you experience your state university at the 4th Annual Rutgers Day on Saturday, April 28th, with performances, tours, exhibits, hands-on activities, and such perennial favorites as the Zimmerli Family Day, the Ag Field Day, the New Jersey Folk Festival, and the Faraday Lecture. Plan to attend. Remember, Saturday, April 28th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Hey And we're back here on the Blue Line, Rob Strauss alongside John Flacco. Our last segment of this session of the Blue Line, the second ever session of the Blue Line Night here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Got a couple minutes left before we sign off, and we're talking about this during the break, and we want to have a little bit of fun with this. We did our predictions last week, and we would like to go back on. We're going to have one prediction that we could take back. I don't think it's even fair. I know which one I want to take back, because I took the Pens in seven. Obviously, I'm going to be a little bit more realistic, because we all know, I think it's safe to assume that that series is over.
I won't say it aloud.
Oh, I was trying to get you to say it.
But
put the hex on you.
It's never over till it's over, especially being on the other side of that.
So are you nervous?
I wouldn't say I was nervous, given you look at the schedule. We have two games at home, two games there, which we won a game already in Pittsburgh, two games in Pittsburgh. So, you know, I wouldn't say I was nervous, but I'm not ready to look at the standings and say, who do we play next? So let's just keep it at that.
But if you had a choice...
Put it this way, I'm not going to change my prediction, put it that way.
I know you're not going to change your prediction, that's obvious. But if you had a choice of the six remaining teams to play in the Eastern Conference, which second round matchup would be the best fit for the Flyers?
Best fit?
To give them the best opportunity to go ahead to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I think they need to play a defensive team like Boston. That's when they need a good defensive team to play against to kind of get in the right mood looking ahead for, you know, I believe the Rangers will be there, even though I picked Ottawa in the series. But I believe the Rangers will
be there. Is that your I'm going back on
pick? No, I'm not. I'm going to stick with my underdog Ottawa pick. My pick that I have to take back is the Vancouver Kings one. I mean, I can't see Vancouver pulling this one out. So I'm going to take that. That's the easy one to take back, I know. But I'm going to stick with my upset picks and stay with my Red Wings and stay with Ottawa. Yeah, I think that was it. I have to go back to St. Louis, San Jose, look at that one again maybe. But I'm going to take back the Kings.
As much as I'd like to take back the – I mean, it's kind of silly. I think there should be a rule in this little game that we're playing here that you can't take back a 3-0.
Well, then you can't take back Pittsburgh then.
I can't. I'm not going to take back Pittsburgh.
All right. You want me to take one back?
Take one back.
All right.
Or you can just keep your picks the way that they are. I feel like we're playing The Price is Right.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to keep mine the way that they are.
If we're going to throw out the 301s, then I'm going to keep the ones I have too then.
Fair enough. You can't really – I mean, if there is a team that's going to come back from a 3-0 deficit, I think the Canucks can do it. I don't have as much confidence in the – obviously, the Flyers-Penguins series, because we talked about this in the first segment, that everything is – it's an absolute implosion right now for the Penguins.
There's too many things going wrong. Yeah.
There's nothing going right. If you had to pick one thing that's going right for the Penguins right now, from a – ice hockey standpoint, National Hockey League standpoint, I cannot focus on one thing at all. I can't. There's nothing to bring to the table that they can say, you know what, we've done this right. Maybe you put the puck in the net. That's great. You've scored a lot of goals. Usually 4 or 5 goals in a playoff game will win you games.
Yeah.
But when you're giving up shorthanded goals and you're not playing defense and you're getting bad goaltending and the other team is in your kitchen again, thank you, Barry Melrose. I just can't go back on that. I just can't. So a lot of good games on for this evening, and I believe as we take a look at the schedule for tonight, Rangers and Ottawa are on tonight. That's Monday night, 7:30. Boston at Washington. So the Caps are going to get a home game. Those fans in Washington are going to be all jazzed up. Coming back 1-1 from the reigning Stanley Cup champions. That atmosphere is going to be absolutely electric there. And then the late game, St. Louis heads to the West Coast to take on the Sharks. All of these series are knotted at one game apiece. So this game for all of these teams is a pivotal game going into it.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of good matchups tonight. I'm looking forward. You know, I'm really thrilled with the NBC networks.
They've done a good job.
Yeah, you know, I can't remember being able to watch so much playoff hockey. You know, aside from when ESPN had the coverage years back, you know, this is the best hockey coverage has been in a long time with the NHL Network, with highlights and having all the NBC stations showing pretty much all the games. And you're not, you know, if you want to watch every minute, you pretty much can. And I have been watching a lot.
I have.
Much to the chagrin of my wife.
Yeah. I have watched more hockey in the last week. I mean, it's, this is what it's all about. It's my favorite time of year because you have so much stuff going on. Baseball starting up, finally. The hockey playoffs are right here. And NBA season is starting to wrap down a little bit. It's starting to get nice out. And you got the Masters and all these golf tournaments. There's so much stuff going on sporting-wise. It's just a great time to be a sports fan. But lots of games on. And we'll be back next week. This show is obviously going to air tonight, Monday night at 6 o'clock. The rebroadcast is going to be Tuesday the 17th, also at 6 o'clock. This will also take us right into your playoff hockey. So
give me a horn.
I need an exit horn here.
I need an exit horn.
No problem.
Oh, yeah, that's
there
sweet.
You go.
That's sweet.
There you go.
That'll hold me over to Wednesday.
Yeah, and you'll probably hear that a lot.
I'm hoping so.
Probably hear that quite a bit. Again, tune into Sterling High School Radio for all of your Sterling news and updates. For John Flacco, I'm Rob Strauss. Thanks for listening to us here right here on the Blue Line on WSHS Sterling High School Radio.
Go Flyers!